evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, March 7, 2018. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson visits Africa.
This trip by Tillerson is a result of his trying to atone a little bit for the terrible comments he made that compared African countries to dirty toilets 2 months ago. I mean, it's really a low point in American engagement in Africa.
And a top German diplomat calls on South Sudanese leaders to end violence.
Let me use this opportunity also to call upon all those in responsibility positions, be it in government, be it in opposition, to take the responsibilities they have to bring peace to this country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The German government has pledged 30 million euros to support protection, nutrition, and the provision of clean water supply for South Sudanese children. The money will be donated to the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
German ambassador to South Sudan, Jan-Hendrik Van Toor, says the funds are meant to help address the country's growing humanitarian needs. He says South Sudanese leaders should end the violence in the country to attract donors.
In this country, of course, to be more successful, we need peace. It is crucial that this country finally finds peace. So let me use this opportunity also to call upon all those in responsibility positions, be it in government, be it in opposition, wherever they are, to take the responsibilities they have to bring peace to this country, to live up to their words and to the commitments they orally make all the time. You have the opportunity, the international community is supporting, bring peace to your people. The people deserve it.
Van Toor says Germany is now the third largest aid donor to South Sudan after the U.S. and Britain. Mahimbo Mundowe, the UNICEF country director in South Sudan, says less than half of the population in the country has access to safe water and only 10% have access to basic sanitation. He says Germany's donation will provide millions of vulnerable South Sudanese with water, sanitation, and treatment to thousands of children suffering from malnutrition across parts of the country.
Here in Juba, Torit, and Yambio, we will be building a water system, so this means pipelines, which will have an emergency component in terms of that in some places they'll be delivering to POCs, but they'll also have a longer-term component of serving communities that are vulnerable in these areas.
Mundoe says more than 4 million South Sudanese children are either at risk of malnutrition, diseases, have been abducted or killed. Joseph Senesi is UNICEF's nutrition specialist in South Sudan. He says 1.5 million children are suffering from acute malnutrition. Senesi says part of the funds will be used to screen and to identify children who are sick so that they are treated. The German Foreign Affairs Minister visited South Sudan last year in August and urged South Sudanese leaders to use peaceful means to resolve the ongoing conflict. Sigma Gabriel told the South Sudanese leaders that all stakeholders, including the armed opposition, should be included in efforts to restore peace and stability across South Sudan. The German Federal Foreign Office has also been supporting the establishment of police structures and emergency call center in Juba to improve security. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on a five-nation Africa trip that will take him to Ethiopia, Djibouti, Kenya, Chad, and Nigeria. Before leaving, Secretary Tillerson spoke Tuesday in Washington and promised $533 million in new aid to Africa. Tillerson's visit comes months after President Donald Trump ridiculed some African countries. John Strimlow is a visiting professor of international relations at the University of Witwatersrand in South Africa. He just wrote an article in which he gave three reasons why African leaders should be skeptical of Secretary Tillerson's visit.
Tillerson is going to only five countries across the arc of instability, so it's geographically very limited. Secondly, it is really about counterterrorism. The third reason is really whatever Tillerson says in this regard is questionably credible because he has been undercut so often by his commander-in-chief, Donald Trump. And so, therefore, I think governments in Africa have a very hard problem deciding how much weight to give whatever this Tillerson trip comments upon or says.
So the State Department, they say here that during Tillerson's visit, he's going to meet with officials at the African Union to discuss partnership. Okay, you mentioned the terrorism, but to advance peace and security and to promote good governance. This is good if it happens.
Well, yes, and I'm for cooperation, of course, but bear in mind that the African Union meeting with the leaders there is the only opportunity that it really has to speak broadly about the norms and changes that are occurring across the continent. And this is at a period when the U.S. influence and role in Africa has declined dramatically since the days of Barack Obama. As you know, this trip by Tillerson is a result of his trying to atone a little bit for the terrible comments he made that compared African countries to dirty toilets 2 months ago. I mean, it's really a low point in America's engagement in Africa, and Tillerson spending a few hours at the African Union is not going to change very much.
So how do you think the African leaders that Tillerson is going to meet and even people at the African Union, how do you think they should react to Mr. Tillerson?
Well, I think in the first instance, let's recall that when he made that terribly vile comment about African countries in conjunction with immigration, that the African Union spokesperson and others around the continent generally replied in a very, I thought, low-key and more in disbelief. You know, is this really the America that we had come to work with? You know, we all have our differences on foreign policy issues, but I felt that the bipartisan support in the Congress for at least programs in agricultural development, alternative energy, and, of course, public health made a big difference, and I think we're welcomed in the continent. There was often a lot of debate about whether the U.S. was being too active in promoting good governance and democracy. Those are sensitive issues for any country, of course. The African Union takes elections very seriously now and monitors all of them. But Trump and Tillerson show no interest in any of these. And I think the Africans can respond best by just saying, what are you doing? Why is America shirking its partnerships and making life so complicated out here when it doesn't have to be that way? We can have a decent partnership, but all you're doing is causing us headaches, and you're also betraying what you say are your core values. I mean, that's what I think is the high road.
Professor Strimlow, you also says here that you believe that Africa should also remind Secretary Tillerson of Africa's appreciation of China's increasing importance as the leading development partner for Africa. What exactly do you mean?
Because China is becoming a much more important partner for Africa, and China is an authoritarian state, but it is doing a lot of important and useful work for development in Africa, and it doesn't tell the Africans what to do. It just tries to work out arrangements that are mutually beneficial, which is the way to proceed, and I would like to see more of that happening with regard to America. But I don't think it will under Donald Trump and Rex Tillerson.
So, I mean, that's interesting. But do you in Africa who follow, do you hear from this administration in terms of we've talked about development assistance to Africa and other issues that have played in the past being the cornerstone of U.S.-Africa relationship? Where are things now?
Well, things are nowhere. He's had no Africa policy. He doesn't have an ambassador here in South Africa, which is a very important partner of the United States. He has no permanent, he being Tillerson or Trump, permanent assistant secretary for Africa. I mean, 16 months into the administration, this is shocking. There's real neglect. I do worry, I have to say, that if he discovers, given his recent trade policies, the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which is important to give African products concessionary entry into U.S. markets, that Trump could turn on that as an unfair, from his standpoint, trade arrangement. He thinks in very transactional terms. and that's bad. I have not mentioned the one area that makes the Tillerson trip all the more dubious to me, which is in the security area. The U.S. Pentagon is very active in the arc of instability where Tillerson is going, and they are providing military assistance to try to help stabilize some of the terrible conflicts going across the Horn of Africa and the Sahel into Nigeria. And what I don't understand is what the State Department value is going to add to that. I don't criticize the Pentagon as much as some of my colleagues out here, because governments have asked for military assistance. The Chinese are also trying to be helpful. So are the Europeans. This is very, very difficult. And it's also obscuring what I think is the larger African story about economic advancement and political debates and reform, which is never easy, but deserves our attention more so, I think, than the important but still limited violence across the arc of instability in the five countries that Tillerson is visiting.
That's John Strimlow, a visiting professor of international relations at the University of Witwatersrand in South Africa. He spoke with VOA's James Batty earlier today. A medical officer at Yei Civil Hospital says more people are testing positive for hepatitis B in Yei River County. Health officials in Yei River State say the number of deaths and people suffering from the disease is on the rise. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei.
Hepatitis is caused by five viruses known as hepatitis A, B, C, D, and E. Hepatitis B and C are transmitted through the exchange of bodily fluids with infected people. Hepatitis B and C could result in chronic liver disease like liver cancer or cirrhosis. The common symptoms of hepatitis B include yellow fever and swollen stomach, which are more visible at late stages of the disease. Dr. Rufus Bojo is a medical officer at Yei Civil Hospital. He says hepatitis B is one of the killer diseases in the state.
Last month, around 63 people came to be tested for hepatitis B and C. From this number, for last month, 19 were positive. That means the rate is very high. Those who died, they die from the complication of the disease of hepatitis. So, like for last month, we had some four people, unfortunately, from the medical ward who died because of the complication of hepatitis.
Rufus says the hospital lacks the medicine needed to treat hepatitis B. He says patients are often referred to either private clinics in the state or sent to Juba for treatment.
Our resources are not enough. Yes, we have the testing kits and people do come to test. But the issue is now when you get someone negative, you're supposed to vaccinate. And now there is no vaccination. Okay, so in that area, that means there is need for support in that area. Hepatitis is a very infectious disease. We found that hepatitis B is the most dangerous one, and actually most of the patients, that those who come with complication, actually the complication of either B or C. Now of hepatitis as a real threat, people should come out to be tested.
One person who prefers to remain anonymous to protect his privacy says it took him several months to learn he was hepatitis B positive. Speaking in his native Kakwa language, he says there are no medicines for treating the disease in Yei.
Hepatitis B lo na by Jikidenda.
Officials from the hospital referred me to assess treatment from Juba or Uganda. And the challenge on treating the disease in Uganda is too expensive. There are no drugs here, and someone will die out of stress. I am requesting the government to supply drugs to the poor people like me.
Margaret Maka, a relative to a family member, says she nurses a 24-year-old brother who is living with hepatitis B. Maka says people need more education about how to prevent and treat hepatitis B.
The patient will present with the yellow eyes and the loss of appetite, then loss of weight, and then sometimes even there's a fever. It cannot show that this is hepatitis B. But what you have to do is, one, when you want to care for this patient, you should know very well that the first care is intrusion. We should know how to feed this patient. To prevent hepatitis B, we should have the vaccine. And we should reach to the grassroots by doing what? Testing. And give them health education so that they will know how to prevent hepatitis B.
Kenyi Elisa John, a community member in Yale River County, says many people in his village have died from the disease due to a lack of awareness. He says the government and non-governmental organizations should do more to fight the deadly disease.
It has been existing in the community. It has been killing people, but more effort have not been put in place. Because of that, I am asking the NGOs and the government, they have to put more effort in making sure that there is a vaccine being provided to vaccinate the people.
Yeah, River State's Minister of Health and Environment says hepatitis B is a major public health concern. Kagome Manasi is calling on the World Health and Center for Disease Control to intervene and save lives in the state. He says the state government lacks the resources to handle major health challenges such as hepatitis B and C.
Many people are not well informed regarding hepatitis B and C, and sometimes they are detected at later stages. So these cases have been going on silently. But today, I want to call upon donors and supporters who are trying to address issues regarding public health to take into account issues related to hepatitis B and C. There is a public health concern and a public health intervention. So this is a very big concern. Today, we have people who have lost their lives.
The World Health Organization estimates that hepatitis kills 1.45 million people every year, a toll comparable to that of HIV and tuberculosis. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yale.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Global Witness puts a spotlight on oil money in South Sudan. That story is coming up right after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you have any suggestions for how governments can fight illegal child labor?
I think the government should put stringent and strict laws so that that can govern, tackle like every person that is exercising child labor.
Do something for the youth, especially the youths, like start up some stuff that the youths can engage themselves into. Those that are not going to school, because most of the things happening because these people didn't go to school.
Those laws are there. They don't follow them up. There's nothing that is being done. It should start putting into practice whatever it puts down.
The government should ban those people who employ young people, and then those companies that tend to say they're taking the youth outside to work. Most of the time you find that those people go there and they end up suffering.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. A new report by a UK-based advocacy group, Global Witness, says South Sudan's state-owned oil company, the Nile Petroleum Corporation, or NILPET, is being used to divert millions in oil revenues to the country's security sector. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
Capture on the Nile is the new Global Witness report that alleges corruption from South Sudan's highest office, facilitated through state-owned Nile Petroleum, which it says has compromised millions of dollars in oil revenue that has been used to fund the government's security sector while enriching individuals. Michael Gibb, Global Witness's campaign leader for conflict resources, says NILPET, a private company owned entirely by the government, is almost wholly unregulated and has become the vehicle of choice for funneling money for some of the country's highest elites.
The key individuals that we've named as central to our current report are the president himself, President Salva Kiir, who exercises a lot of control over who is the managing director of NILPET, as well as who comprises the board, and also Lieutenant General Akol Korkuk, who sits on the board of NILPET and is also the head of South Sudan's National Security Services, one of the agencies we believe have been able to acquire significant resources through NILPET.
Gibbs says Global Witness has documented that millions of dollars from South Sudan's oil wealth has been diverted into NILPET and has been used to fund security services.
But what is crucial about a private company is that it's different in many respects from, say, a government ministry or other public institution. It's typically not subject to the same amount of oversight or scrutiny, and so it's able to operate in a way that is a little bit more independent. Now, add to that that there are no private shareholders. There's no, you know, pension funds or individuals that own shares in NILPET and so might be holding it to account or scrutinizing its accounts. And you get an entity that can actually be quite opaque and quite secretive.
Gibb, however, points out that a government can create a private company, which enables the government to enter into business partnerships, which could be a viable way of making the most out of natural resources.
Now, it's quite common to set up a private company like NILPET in a country that's producing lots of oil, typically because the government wants to go into business with other international companies in what are usually called joint ventures in an effort to get the oil out of the ground and sell it efficiently. That's not always something, you know, a government, especially a young government with a newfound resource, has the capacity or technical skills or capacity to do.
While South Sudan's oil production has significantly decreased since the onset of violence, Gibbs says there is still enough revenue coming from oil to attract individuals who want to use the money for personal gain.
Significant quantities of South Sudan's oil are either being pre-sold or borrowed against, including from international lenders and international traders. And what that means is that much of the oil that still sits in the ground in South Sudan has already been sold. It's already been promised to other buyers and payment has already been received. And that potentially places really significant limitations on South Sudan's future economic recovery.
And Gibbs says that's one of the reasons why it is crucial to have more transparency so that observers can develop an understanding of just how much of that oil has already been sold off or borrowed against. Geth Abraham Dow, a senior aide to the Ministry of Finance, had not read the report and was unable to comment. Ayan Dengbior for VOA News, Washington.
From Washington, we move to Zimbabwe, where junior doctors have been on strike for the past week. The doctors say the government must address their concerns before they return to work. Reporter Kuzaye Zenivashi has more from Harare.
The doctors say that despite previous strikes and promises from the government, their concerns about working conditions have never been addressed. Nkolisi Ngwenya is the spokesperson for the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association.
The main concerns are driving the strike. Generally, the issue of the welfare of our workers, the members of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association.
Ngwenya says the doctors went on strike because the government did not respond to a petition they sent in January or a follow-up letter in February. The letter laid out concerns such as how long working hours should be for doctors and how they will be paid for working extra hours. Doctors also want their payment for being on call reviewed. Ngwenya says doctors are paid $1.50 an hour for being on standby. They also want more medical workers in the understaffed public hospitals and more support for medical institutions.
And also the issue of a shortage of equipment and drugs at hospitals. So we are generally concerned about the conditions under which we are treating our patients. Patients cannot continue to fork out their own monies to buy essential drugs whilst we have a ministry of health. And some of these patients are dying because of a shortage of very, very affordable items like a $2 cannula or a $3 vial of antibiotics.
The doctors also want to be able to import vehicles duty-free. These vehicles would enable them to attend to emergencies swiftly. Angela Rushwaya's mother was admitted in a public hospital recently. She says the government should be swift about getting doctors back to work.
The issue of the government now attending to the junior doctors that are on strike, I think they need to expedite the concerns of the junior doctors. They need to address those issues because we need our doctors. We need each and every doctor that we have on call.
Ngwenya says doctors are willing to return to their jobs under better conditions.
We do not really condone being on industrial action, but if this is the only way then for us to be heard for the welfare of the health sector, then we have to go on that industrial action. We would like to assure our patients, our nation as a whole, that as soon as these demands are met, we are really ready to go to work. We are burning to work.
Ngwenya says the government has spoken with the association and promised to hire more doctors, but nothing has been put in writing. He says other issues are to be discussed at another meeting scheduled for next week. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinalashe from Harare.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on a five-nation African tour to Ethiopia, Djibouti, Kenya, Chad, and Nigeria. Before leaving yesterday, Secretary Tillerson promised $533 million in new aid to Africa. John Stremlo, a visiting professor of international relations at the University of Witwatersrand in South Africa, has written an article in which he gave three reasons why Africa should be skeptical of Tillerson's visit. He says Tillerson's going to five countries which he calls the arc of instability, which are geographically very limited. Secondly, he says the trip's really about counterterrorism. And thirdly, he says whatever Tillerson says about the trip is questionable since he's been undercut so often by President Trump. The German government has pledged 30 million euros to support the protection, nutrition, and provision of a clean water supply for South Sudanese children. The money will be donated to UNICEF. German ambassador to South Sudan, Jan Hendrik van Thiel, says the funds are meant to help address the country's growing humanitarian needs. And finally, a medical officer at Ye Civil Hospital says more people are testing positive for hepatitis B in Ye River County and across the state. Hepatitis B is caused by five viruses known as hepatitis A, B, C, D, and E. Hepatitis B and C are transmitted through the exchange of bodily fluids with infected people. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Tong Tong by Sweet J. This one goes out to our listeners on Anissa FM in Yambio. We have been listening to Sweet J with the song Tong Tong. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us today. We want to know what you think about this show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also look us up on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.